You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Right, guys, welcome back to Coaching Conversations with Pete and Yas. But before we get to today's episode, just a quick announcement from our partnership with St. Mary's University Twickenham.
Yeah, so thanks for having me. I'm Ashley, our performance football coaching course lead, as you know, as a member of our alumni. Our course is unique around the world, so we believe that we have a distance learning model that kind of works for everyone, regardless of where they are in the world. They can study football performance coaching from their environment and put it into their context.
Amazing. And who is it for?
So we really have lots of different unique opportunities. So you can be a pro licensed coach that we've had in the past. You could be a level 2 UEFA B coach. It's about putting it into your context. So we'll expose students to match analysis, contemporary football coaching cultures, and they can put that into their own practice and improve their knowledge and understanding of the game.
Thank you for that, Ash. And as an alumni member of St. Mary's University Twickenham, I'm proud to announce the partnership that we've got going on, where each week myself and Pete will be delivering conversations around different how-to elements, analysis tips, and obviously some insights from our own experiences as coaches and coach developers. So catch that on YouTube and every week on all major platforms where you can hear it in audio form as well. Right, guys, welcome back to Coaches Conversations with Pete and Yas. Today's episode, we're going to be looking at qualifications versus experience. Before we get to that though, Pete, just a brief insight on who you are and what you do.
Hi, I'm Peter Augustine. I am a coach development officer with a responsibility for diversity and inclusion. And the area that I work in is London and the southeast of England.
Awesome. And similar to you, Peter, obviously working as part of the diversity and inclusion team with the FA as a coach mentor. But Pete, this is a really interesting topic for me. A lot of coaches will be thinking about this at the moment. Obviously, a lot of people gone recently through the rejection of or even the successful aspect of being on qualifications and then comparing that and contrasting that different experiences. So what, you know, straight away, what are your thoughts? Qualifications versus experience. Where are the pros? Where are the cons?
Okay, so it depends really if you're talking about experience from a point of view of just doing something or experience linked to qualifications. So say, for example, the way I look at it this way. So imagine if you're a plumber, okay? And you've got yourself a few jobs, but you've never done any plumbing qualifications. Mm. And somebody comes along and they've got some plumbing qualifications, but they've never done a plumbing job in their life. You've got a bit of a dilemma there, haven't you? Because you go, do I go with a person who's done plumbing for maybe 25 years with no qualifications, or do I go with a person who knows how to put together a toilet and so on and so forth? The experienced person, what they'll be able to do is they'll be able to sort out problems or go around problems and so on and so forth. The person with the qualifications may not be able to solve all the problems. However, because they've got the qualifications, because they know how things are put together, what they'll be able to do is they'll be able to eventually solve the problem, and from that experience that they gain will help them to become a better plumber. Okay, They'll also know where to go to get help, because that's one of the things about qualifications it gives you. It gives you a structure. Where do I get help when I don't know what I'm doing? The person who just starts plumbing, say for example, they kind of have to work it out. They have to bodge up a few jobs, mess up a few jobs before they actually get it right. But hold on, if they're experimenting on your house and there's water coming through the ceiling, you ain't gonna want that. So you kind of got to think. So it's kind of a difficult one. I would always think about it from this point of view. If you've got qualifications, what it tells me is that you've taken time over your learning, that you've actually gone out there and you've gone, I tell you what, I'm gonna learn about this properly. And what happens is it creates a habit in you. And that habit is for you to keep looking for more information to become the best person that you can be. But again, that depends on you as a person. If you're closed-minded, eventually what will happen is you'll come up against a problem that you can't deal with. And what do you do then? because you're so close-minded, you're not going to ask anyone else.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, the other thing that the plumber will have met people on the course who may be more experienced.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there's an interesting part to that because obviously it's now looking at, well, there's so many different facets of experience, right? Because you've got those who are maybe experienced in terms of length of time and how many years or, you know, opportunities they've had to do a specific task or a specific thing. But then there's also the element of how wide-ranging are your experiences. So if you, as an example, let's use your plumber analogy. If, you know, for the last 25 years you've been a plumber, but all you've really had to deal with is, you know, just kitchen work.
Yeah.
Right? Now all of a sudden time to go into the bathroom. And you haven't had that experience. So what do you do then? Rather than this. And I think it's finding the right balance between that breadth and depth of experiences, that range of experiences, to make sure that you do have a range of experiences. You do have some areas that you might be stronger in, but also then you know where your weak spots are potentially.
Yeah.
And then obviously within that, if things recognizing that, you know, coming back to the piece around qualification, I think with qualifications, they'll give you a structure, definitely. They'll give you some sort of signposting, but they'll also probably... in many respects teach you a textbook technique.
Yeah.
Right? Which often doesn't always work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
And I think sometimes it's the experience and that, you know, that helps you understand, actually, no, on this occasion we've got to move away from the textbook. Whereas the textbook is the one that probably is considered the safest.
Yes.
Right. But sometimes if we take it back to coaching, sometimes we might need to do something that might not be always considered best practice.
Yeah.
Because it's what's right for the moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, what would you say to those coaches who are thinking about, well, okay, you know, I've got some qualification, I've got some experience, I've been doing this for 25 years, I might be a bit close-minded. Well, why should I open my mind? What is there to be considerate of?
Because this is the thing, is that we have to remember as coaches that it's not about us. It's about the players. What experience are we giving the players? So when we're saying, oh, I'm not gonna change, I'm always gonna treat this player like this, this type of player like this, and I'm always gonna shout from the touchline, and you're shouting from the touchline and the player's not responding to you, then you end up in the change room and had a massive argument with that player. But you don't know what the player's gone through. You don't know if the player's heard you. You don't know if the player's learning style is the way you teach that player, the way you talk to that player, is conducive to that player's learning. You don't know any of that because your mind is so closed. And that's the beauty of education. If you think about education in any form, what it does, it gives you information. It gives you, and as they often say, information is power. So if I look at, let's take some of the top managers. You look at Pep Guardiola. What is the one thing that's great about Pep Guardiola?
His meticulous, his attention to detail, right?
Exactly. Also, does he do the same thing every time, every season?
I think for the most part, I think there's a general kind of framework which he works from, but I think it's just looking at, you know, it's interesting, I saw an interview of his recently, and he was discussing, obviously, the introduction of Haaland into the side, and more specifically that, in the initial stages, maybe the first 5, 6, even up to 10 games, they didn't really understand how to utilize him. Because what was happening is they weren't used to a player that would just make those runs in behind. So as a result of him now having to make those runs in behind, it gave them a different outlet, whereas typically it might be right to go left, right, left, right, and then look to play forward. Actually, now it's just left forward or just forward, because you can see that he's creating a different picture for the team in front. So I think, but the general gist, the makeup and the identity doesn't really change too much, no.
Yeah, however, it does change. So he bought Haaland for a reason. We can't say we know what that reason is because we're not in the change room, but we can surmise that he gives them another angle, another way of being able to hurt the opposition. So, okay. I'm an opposition manager and they're playing without Haaland and we know they're going to go left, right. We say, okay, let's bank up against them. Let's let them go play in front of us, but we're not going to let them get in behind us. We're not going to let them play those little intricate passes. But all of a sudden, as we talked about in one of our other shows, when they scored the goal in the cup final, they went,
Joom.
Okay. That's not a typical Manchester City way, is it? That's, you know, that you wouldn't associate that with Manchester City. But we're starting to associate it more with them because they have so many different ways of playing.
Yeah.
Now, Pep's experience comes into that, but also the fact that he's qualified. And one of the things I do believe he does, he goes to different coaching symposiums and that sort of stuff, which again is more education for him. Yes. He'll listen to other people. He'll talk to other people. He'll talk to his coaches. They'll have a discussion about players and what they're doing and how they're doing. Now, you can only do that from a place of education. You can't do that from
both mindset, isn't it?
Exactly. Because he talks to his coaches because he wants to know what they think.
But I think there's also a key part in that, right? And it's also identifying that it's genuine.
Yes.
Right? It's not just speaking to the coaches just for the sake of speaking to them and just trying to get a response or something that maybe affirms what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, no, he wants probably the opposite. Mm. He probably wants people to find holes in what he thinks.
Yes.
Right? And more specifically, I think it kind of, you know, leading back into the topic of the conversation that we're having here, qualifications versus experience, well, actually, doesn't always have to be something that's formally accredited.
No.
Right? Because actually those moments when you're sharing your conversations with coaches, when you're actually going and you know, to these different symposiums and whether it's a CPD event or webinar or whatever else it may be, these are all learning opportunities. But yes, you might not get a formal qualification. You know, that might necessarily be the difference when you can get in a job and not.
Mm.
But these are all things that all add up, obviously, towards that experience piece. So I guess, you know, in that, what are some key things that you think coaches should really start to think about in how they develop their own ideas? Because I think one of the biggest things for me has always been that old saying of never be the smartest one in the room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think to me it's quite simplistic. It's when you go on the course, you're going on the course to hear the different ideas that are knocking about, say, for example. Mm. And then what you're doing is you're going, okay, what does that look like in my environment?
Mm.
Am I able to do that with the players that I have? I have 1 day a week and I've got an hour and I've got a quarter of AstroTurf.
Mm.
Well, everything that I learn on the course isn't going to help me, but some parts will help me and it will give me the structure. So it will say to me something as simple as, make sure I've got enough bibs. Make sure I've got the right size footballs.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure I look at the direction that I'm doing the practice in.
Mm.
Am I able to make use of the space? Am I able to negotiate with the other people who are sharing the AstroTurf with me to say, for example, for the first half an hour, can I take a larger slice while you're doing your warm up? And then when you finish your warm up, I'll go back into my area. So little things like that. And now, I remember hearing about that and, you know, about, you know, nicking somebody else's space on a course. One of the tutors talked about it.
Yeah.
Well, nick a bit of their space while they're doing their warm-up. And then when they come, but you agree it beforehand, you know.
But I think something that's really key in that, right? It's that organisation piece. You see so many times, and I'm working with a bunch of coaches right now that are in a similar capacity, say, oh, you know, I've only got this much space. Yeah, but have you really only got that much space? Or is that what you've been allotted? Yeah, you've been allotted a quarter of the pitch or half the pitch, but actually, like you said,
yeah.
Well, they might not even be from your club. They might not even be from your team.
Yeah.
They might be the guys next, you know, on the next pitch from a different club who've maybe only got 10 players that have shown up and they were expecting 22. So they've booked half the pitch, but now they're only using a quarter of it.
Yeah.
It's just having that conversation, right? Just to see, right, what are the possibilities? But I think something key that you touched on earlier about is we go on courses to learn, but actually we're never really conscious of what we're going to take away until it happens.
Exactly.
Right. So we can be in the same room, hearing the same content, listening to the same speaker, if you like, but actually what you take away from it, what I take away, is going to be completely different.
Yeah.
And then us engaging and reflecting and sharing those thoughts with one another is obviously what then sparks different ideas and new ideas. So, you know, just share the importance from that then in terms of those conversations on a qualification, or those reflective conversations with your staff. What kind of questions are you going after? What kind of, you know, what kind of conversation are you really trying to lead with?
Well, really, everybody comes onto a course with a certain level of experience.
Mm.
Okay, whether it's a lot of experience, a little bit of experience, doesn't matter. But you come onto it with some form of experience. Your experience might be even the fact that from your job, the job that you do during the day, that.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
That might help you. So what you do is you take the conversations that you ask and the conversations that you have is the first one is, what does this look like? What is your environment? Where do you coach?
I'm a plumber.
Yeah. Who doesn't work on toilets?
That's it. Yeah. That's
right. So you've got that. So I'm on the course and I now meet a plumber who does work on toilets. So we talk about, and he says, oh yeah, blah, 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 I do this when, yeah. And he said, oh, well, I do this when I'm in the kitchen. And, oh, right, okay. Then you start to realize there are some similarities.
Yeah.
So then what you go is, oh, right, okay, now I know that because I know, I'm getting some information from the tutor about what plumbing looks like in a house and which pipes go where. Mm. I mean, I'm talking about this like I know about plumbing. I don't know anything about plumbing. I mean, I stay well away from plumbing. But again, that shows you. I mean, imagine this. I decide that as a football coach, I'm going to go and fix my bathroom taps, and I start messing about, and there's water flying everywhere, and so on and so forth. Mm. And then I go, oh, right, actually, that me unscrewing that tap there, that's where the water spouts out. Okay, mm. I won't do that next time. I know that. But it doesn't make me a good plumber. What it makes me is somebody who's had an experience, has had a plumbing experience.
Yeah.
But I'm not an experienced plumber.
No.
So
go on.
Yeah, so when you then start to look at, when we go back to, come back into our world of football coaching, just because you've done something doesn't mean you're good at it.
Yeah.
It just means you've done it. So there's loads and loads of people who've coached for many, many years.
Yeah.
And they say, oh yeah, well, we won a cup. Yeah, okay, great, you won a cup. But what experience did your players have?
Yeah, and I think the key thing within that, that's really kind of just jumping at me, is how do you know what you know?
That's where your education comes in.
But this is it, right? So yeah. you've got to be able to kind of check and challenge against something.
Yeah.
There's got to be some evidence, if you like, you know, to kind of back up, right? Yeah, I know this because of what. And, you know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with a couple of coaches recently, and then around match days and looking at, well, my team performed this way. You know, I thought they were better. Okay, but based on what?
Yeah.
What have you got? You know, where's the data? Where's the insight to support that? That's, or is it just a literal observation? Because unless you've got that information to handle, or you've got something to refer back to that's objective, then it's just an opinion, right? And I think it speaks volumes for me when I'm speaking to players and I can say, right, this is what it looked like 10 minutes before this goal.
Yeah.
This is what it looked like in the following 10 minutes after that goal.
Mm.
And that piece is powerful, because now if we're trying to get a message across, and again, whether it's, you know, even a qualification, we go on a qualification, yes, they're great, but don't just go on there with the mindset of everything that's there should be taken as gospel, right? Because everyone's sharing their own experiences. Yeah. So, you know, maybe think about a time where you've gone on a course and possibly haven't taken on board or challenged what's been said, because this is another key part, right? When in terms of your learning, understanding what's relevant, understanding what's irrelevant, but understanding what's relevant, but not for the context you're currently working in. So therefore you just park that.
Mm. Yeah, well, I remember when I first started on my qualifications, I went in at level 2 because I kind of just finished playing. And at that time, I was terrible at pitting kitchens. And and then what happened was, they told us, and you have to coach in this way for the qualification. So I took, they said, you go away and practice it. So I went away and practiced it. The problem was that when I was working with the players, it wasn't working. The players were getting annoyed because I kept going, stop, stand still, go down, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. So I spoke to my tutor at the time and I said, look, I keep doing this and I think I'm going to lose my job because, you know, and so the tutor just said to me, well, stop doing it then. And so then I was conflicted because I said, well, to pass the award, I've got to do stop, stand still, and then I've got to do blah, blah. But here's the thing that it taught me. It taught me how to observe.
Yeah.
Because now what I started to do is I started to go, oh, there's that bit there. Oh, that's the bit I'm after. And so I'd leave it. And then I started to see the players who were doing the things that I didn't want them to do, but I had some evidence. And what I started to do when I first started, I used to take a little notebook out with me. Sometimes it was terrible because it was raining, so I couldn't write it. And I'd go, right, okay, all right, let's see there. That's it. I've done it again. And I started, I got a little code.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, say, for example, I wanted them to play forward.
Yeah.
PB would mean pass back. So that means he's passed back again.
Right, okay.
So it would be, let's say it was Cyril Jones or Edna Smith. It would be their initials and then PBP. I go, right, okay. And I go, Edna, you've passed back five times when I've said to you to pass forward.
Right.
And Edna might say to me, well, she's not making any runs forward. And I'd go, all right, so I'll look at that. So I've got some information from the player.
Yeah.
I've got some evidential information from myself.
Yeah.
Because again, when I, at that level in my coaching, I was always concentrating on the ball.
Yeah.
So I wasn't looking away from the ball. So then it made me start to look away from the ball.
But I think even within that, right, because even before you start looking away from the ball, just that interaction with the player in the first place is almost giving you a different opportunity to understand it from their perspective, right? Because, which has then maybe potentially sparked your thoughts to go, actually, well, let me start looking away from the ball now. But in the initial stages, and I think this is what experience will teach you, is the players have a different viewpoint. Right, you're watching it from the sidelines. Potentially, sometimes you might be in the practice. Sometimes you might be behind the position of the player, and that's often encouraged to try and get a viewpoint of where their vantage point, if you like. But fundamentally, we're never going to, even if we, as we have already identified, even if we see the same image, see the same picture, how we interact and how we perceive those variables that are in that image are very different. So, and I always give the example, you know, for instance, you give Neymar a yard of space with two players around him, he's probably comfortable, right? Whereas if you maybe have the same similar situation with a Harry Maguire, that yard of space isn't good enough. He probably needs three, four, maybe six, maybe even 10, probably 10.
Yeah. But again, we say that, but then you have to start to think about it from this point of view. You used Harry Maguire as an example. Harry Maguire may be happy with small amounts of spaces, but if you then start to think about, well, what's his mental state like? Is he nervous now because he knows that the whole world is looking at him? Is he nervous now because if he makes a mistake, it'll be amplified out of all proportions? So when you start to look at it from that point of view, that's where your education comes in, your experience comes in, and the two match. Now, if you see what Gareth Southgate has done with Harry, he supported him through this difficult time, because the one thing I believe is this, is whether you're having a good time or whether you're having a bad time, neither one will last.
Yeah.
All right? So once you know that and you start to understand that, that's where your experience will come in. But your education will start to kick in, because you've learned some stuff where they've told you about player state, emotions, all that sort of stuff. So now you start to think about, oh, right, okay, there's this, that, never. Another example of that, I can say from my own thing, just come into my head, was I remember there was a lad I was coaching, and I just finished my UEFA B, and I learned about growth spurts. And so anyway, this lad was one of our best players. I mean, he would go past people for fun. He was like unbelievable. Anyway, he kept tripping over the ball. He kept making silly mistakes, and I thought, what's the matter with him? But I didn't notice that he was getting a bit taller.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, no, hold on a second there. He's going through a growth spurt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I looked back through my notes, and it's told me about how you deal with growth spurts. So I went back and I spoke to the boy, I spoke to his parent. Yeah. I said, this is what we're going to do. So we had this really great conversation. Then it was, that was in around about, say around about the October, November time. You know, you just start the season.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had the break for Christmas. Came back after Christmas. He was flying.
Yeah.
Absolutely flying. From there, he went to Tottenham. Amazing. As a youngster, as a little. But what we did, we had a plan in. But I wouldn't have known that plan if I hadn't got my education. I wouldn't have known about growth spurts and so on and so forth. But my experience of the game then helped me with what plan am I going to put in place? Because I was coaching all the time and my experience as a player, all that sort of stuff. How would I have liked to have been dealt with? Yada, yada, yada. All those things came into to make the decision to what we did, which was we said we would only play him for short amounts of time in the game, okay, and either at the end or at the beginning of the game or at the end of the game.
Mm.
And he was happy with that. You know, and he, you know, then in training we'd work with him and so on and so forth. And you know, we did. I mean, I still didn't have as much information as I would have liked, but that one piece of information helped me with that play. Now I'm not saying he went to Tottenham because of me. He didn't. He went to Tottenham because of him, because he was a great, he was a fantastic player
and a great plumber.
Yeah, you ain't gonna let that go, are you? but what he did, it enabled him, it gave him that breathing space, that time, you know. Another player who later on in the same team was playing in a game, kept missing chances, but was always getting into position. And I went, and the parents, and this is the cruel thing, parents were laughing, were saying, oh, he's missed again and blah, blah, blah. And I just said to him, just keep doing it. Don't care. If you miss another 100 chances, I don't care. Keep doing what you're doing because you're getting the chances. Anyway, he ends up in the game scoring 4 goals. Okay, and we won the game very, very comfortably. But he came off and he was upset because he thought he could have had more. And I pulled him to one side. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, next week you'll be in that position maybe only one time. Mm. We may need you to score and you'll score and we'll win the game 1-0.
Yeah.
I said, that's fine by me. I said, it doesn't matter. You'll learn from this.
Mm.
You know? And again, that came from one of the courses when they talked about this idea of not berating a player because they've done a certain thing wrong or whatever.
Mm.
So all those things added to my bank of experience. When I went on my starting on my level 2, I thought I had I knew a lot about the game because I'd just come out. I'd already been coaching for 3 years. My team had just won 2 promotions. I went on the course. Didn't realise how little I actually did know.
I think that's coming back to what I said earlier, right? No, about not being the smartest one in the room. You often need to be in situations, especially as a coach, where you've either got, not necessarily people who are more experienced than you, but just have different experiences than you, right? Because, you know, I remember a specific time in my coaching journey where I felt like I learned the most and developed the most. I had someone else who, we went through the same course, we had the same messages, but the way in which we viewed the process of getting to the outcome was very different. So it actually kind of benefited us both because we both agreed on the outcome, which is obviously where the common goal was, the alignment of that. But actually having two different perspectives allowed us to kind of constantly stretch and challenge and check and challenge each other on what might be best and what approach might we have for this player and that player, and is this working? And if it's not working, how do we fix it, or how would we go about doing it? Because if you've tried your way, I've tried my way, and it hasn't worked, well, we're going to have to come up with a new way together. But at the same time, if you've got your way, I don't necessarily have to agree with your way. Or although I could agree with your way, it just might not be my way. So I think there's so many different things that we kind of pick up on that. I'm just conscious that, you know, coming back to the topic of the discussion around qualifications experience, what are some of the key messages that you want people to take away then?
For me, understand that qualifications are part of your coaching journey, okay? Your experience will aid your qualifications, and your qualifications will aid your experience. If you've got those two things, I think you're halfway there. Well, more than halfway there. I think another thing I would say is, if you want to get a good plumber, make sure that they've got experience and qualifications.
Well, there you have it, guys. That's, you know, today's episode of Coaching Conversation with Pete and Yas, where we discuss the difference between qualifications and experience and the pros and cons behind both.
And plumbing.
That's right. make sure you like, share and subscribe this episode. Leave a comment. Let us know your thoughts and any feedback you've got on it. And also any future topics you'd like to hear from us in the future. Thanks for your time today, Pete.
Great stuff. Yes.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.